Last week, a story broke out of Spokane. A white woman named Rachel Dolezal, the head of the local NAACP chapter, was actually passing as Black. Alicia Walters got a text from a friend in Spokane with a link to that story. It didn't surprise her. Maybe 2% of Spokane residents are Black, and growing up, Walters was one of them. But then the friend sent her a photo of Dolezal. Walters told Jeannie Yandel that photo surprised her.
I realized that this was somebody I had actually seen several years ago after returning from Namibia, which is in southern Africa. And, you know, returning to Spokane and just seeing the sheer whiteness and being shocked by the sheer whiteness of Spokane, and then seeing this white woman wearing blonde micro braids flowing past her backside. And I just remember being annoyed in that moment.
Specifically, what was so annoying about seeing her?
To be honest with you, it really goes back to my experience of growing up in Spokane. I thought on the one hand that my experience of being Black wasn't Black enough because I didn't grow up in a thriving Black culture. I had to seek out Black people. I had to teach myself my own history and find my own way. And at the same time, I was reminded all the time that I was Black. I felt Black every single day in that town. You know, growing up as one of only two Black girls in my school, only, you know, one of maybe three Black families in my high school, I was reminded all the time of how different I was and that it was because specifically of my Blackness. And every time I would try to challenge white people about white privilege, that's when they would pull out, well, you're not really Black. You know, you have a white mom, so you don't really know, and racism doesn't really affect you. So the annoying part to me is for somebody to kind of swoop in and say, I am Black. Having lived no Black experience, having gained privilege based on her whiteness, having claimed her whiteness in a lawsuit.
That makes me wonder, though, whether there's something unique to Spokane that allowed this to happen for so many years, that sort of let Rachel Dolezal do this for so many years.
First of all, Rachel Dolezal could not have been able to pass without being given a pass by Black and white people alike. You know, the Black population in Spokane is so small. And here's this white woman gaining prominence, gaining leadership positions, able to speak to the powers that be, using her white privilege. She may have been pushing forth issues that perhaps Black leaders had been stagnant in trying to move along. And so who's going to challenge her whiteness? Who's going to challenge her story in this scenario and risk losing their credibility, risk being cast aside? To me, that's a judgment about the disempowered Black community that exists in Spokane. And to live in Spokane as a Black person is to not rock the boat considerably. It's to just keep things peaceful, because white people in Spokane see, you know, you're so close to the Aryan Nations. Like, that's racism. That's how people understand racism. And as soon as you challenge them and say that racism is structural and name white privilege and white supremacy, not white supremacists, but white supremacy, then you're cast aside. And so when I saw her, it just reminded me of how hard it was to claim my space as a Black woman and what I knew to be true. And so much easier for a white woman to just wear Blackness and not have to live in the body of a Black woman.
I'm talking with Alicia Walters. She grew up in Spokane, and since the Rachel Dolezal story broke, she's written about her experience growing up as a Black girl in Spokane. Before we started recording, we had a conversation on the phone, and you said that this story prompted you to write and talk publicly about your own experience growing up Black in Spokane, which is something you had not done before. This is the first time you've talked about this experience. Why did this story prompt you to do that?
Because after all these years, I still felt like my story of growing up in Spokane as a Black person was so small, so irrelevant to the events of today. You know, the major issues facing the Black community. It wasn't until this story broke that I felt so robbed, because I had to fight so hard to be Black and to be normal in Spokane, to both claim my Blackness amidst people trying to downplay my experience, while at the same time feel some kind of pride, even though I was so far from the beauty standard. I was so far from what was considered desirable. And so I had to fight to be Black in Spokane. And to be honest, I was hurt. I was outraged. I was sad. And I knew that in this moment, my story actually mattered, that I actually had to tell what it was to grow up as a Black girl in Spokane, because this person was making it seem like we didn't even exist, that our experiences were so small and insignificant that she could just step in and take our place. I actually got so many responses from so many Black people across the Pacific Northwest, in fact, across the country, who resonated with what I had to say, who resonated with the idea that they had also felt invisible, that their experiences had been diminished. And so I knew that I had to claim this space.
This Rachel Dolezal story has seemed to spark a national discussion about race, about identity, but particularly about what race means in the U.S. What do you think this tells us about what race means in the U.S.?
I believe that white power structures, corporations, powers that be, are threatened by Black people's collective success. And any shift in how race is defined is going to benefit white people and white power structures. And so when we talk about, oh, race is fluid, it's only going to be fluid if it benefits white people. So, you know, we've seen what's happened in Charleston. We see Black men and women and Black trans people dying in the streets, locked in cages. Our experiences of criminalization are separating us from society. Meanwhile, a new kind of Blackness emerges where anybody can be Black, you know? So claim Black culture and become Black while actual Black people are suffering and dying. And I'm getting emotional now because it's real. I've experienced gun violence in my own family at the hands of white people. The danger of being Black is real. And we cannot let ourselves be erased. We can't let our experiences be invisible so that white people and others can claim who we are without having to live and know what it is to be Black. That's what I worry about, and that's what I see happening right now.
Alicia Walters is the director of the organization Echoing Ida. It showcases and supports Black women's leadership. We'll have links to her pieces about growing up as a Black girl in Spokane at KUOW.org. You can find them later this afternoon. Walters spoke with Jeannie Yandel.